kids, their minds are not that developed to be able to handle those things. So it takes an adult intervention in advance to prepare them with the right frame of mind so that when these things occur, they can, you know, face it and be able to say, no, that's not where I'm at. Or it just being able to process these things, it takes the adults to help prepare them.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Grow Yourself podcast. I'm your host, Kevin McNulty, and this is your personal development school of growth, where each week my guests and I will bring and break down big ideas and practices that will help you learn, grow, and succeed in life. Thanks for checking us out. Now let the growth begin. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Grow Yourself podcast, your personal development school of growth. You know, every day, quite frankly, we have an incredible opportunity to explore really one of the most important aspects of life, and that is character development, if you will. As adults, parents, teachers, coaches, you know, we have the power to inspire and guide, particularly our youth, not just, you know, towards being successful people or productive, citizens, but how about good human beings? And of course, this is done by instilling values such as integrity and perseverance and compassion. More, however, we can equip our youth with tools that they need to navigate life's challenges, to live a purpose-filled life, and to make a positive impact on the world, and these sorts of things. And so in today's episode, I will have a conversation with really an amazing guest who has actually dedicated her life, her current life, and I'll tell you more in just a second, to character development, not just for children, but really for our society. So today my guest is Dr. Christine Van Horn. She's an accomplished author, teacher, and speaker. She recently retired a 30-year career in emergency management, and now focuses on character development in society. In fact, Dr. Van Horn is passionate about the development of strong character traits and life skills in our youth. And in fact, she's written two books, to teach these life skills and character traits, particularly to our youth. So her latest book is Teach Your Children Timeless Truths in Uncertain Times. I have to admit, I almost started to open up by teach your children well, but I decided not to do that. It's the first thing that I thought of because I think it's such a great line. So her book is Teach Your Children Timeless Truths in Uncertain Times. It is a must read. I have had the opportunity to read it, and it's so rock solid. I mean, it's in plain language. There are some profound areas in there, but there's some also practical ideas that you can grasp onto. And it's particularly, I would say, for parents and youth, but for parents to be able to instill some, strong values in their children. So Christine is also has an online program, called Wisdom Decisions Foundational Values, which is designed for both adults and children to complete together. The program focuses on teaching essential life skills and character traits. And by the way, Dr. Van Horn has a bachelor's degree in health, a military master's degree, very interesting concept there, and also a doctorate degree in Christian theology. Would you please welcome to Grow Yourself, and let's learn and grow, in fact, from Dr. Van Horn.
Hello.
Christine, welcome. So welcome to the show. So good to have you.
Thank you, Kevin. It's so wonderful to be here. Thank you very much for having me on.
It's really a pleasure, and I know we had met at a summit for authors, and it only took a moment, honestly, to hear your first of all your subject matter, but then how you spoke about it. Even though you only spoke about it briefly, it just took a second to go, I want this lady on my show, because you are talking about and teaching things that are, I think, important to a lot of people, including myself. And so before we get started, I would love to just ask, from where are you from, where are you calling in from, if you will, or zooming in from, and then tell my audience just a little bit about who you are, where you were raised, any of that sort of thing, just let us know who is Christine Van Horn.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I am calling in from Chicago, Illinois. So that's wonderful. Where I have primarily lived my adult life. And I've lived in Washington, D.C. a little bit, but primarily in Chicago. And thank you. And character is something that I have a great focus on. And part of it is, you know, me looking around at society and reflecting back on what things were like when I was young. And, you know, looking back even to the generations of my parents and grandparents, and there's a great discrepancy in when I look to the past versus what I'm seeing around us today. And I think there is a great opportunity for adults today, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, teacher, adult in general, and you have children in your life, you can make a real difference because there's so many things that they need to know that are not being taught today. And that's the kind of why behind what I'm doing.
Well, what actually, and particularly with respect to your book, you know, but, you know, I just want to ask, you know, sort of a little bit more about what inspired you to write the things that you did. I know you mentioned your father and your book and some of these other things that led you down this path. I mean, obviously, as I said, you spent 30 years in emergency management, yet you turned this really interesting corner to go into this. Tell us just a little bit more about it.
Yes, it started for me when I taught a program for children called Character Club. And it was for all children. It was actually through my church, but the children brought their friends and we had a very large group and we taught character by looking at society today, you know, and stories that the children would understand and just taught them that character is something they need in their lives. And there are schools that teach character, but it's not being taught as much as it should be. It's kind of sporadic. And so I just feel like this is something that should be done at a grassroots level, you know, within families, being able to have the adults teach these things to their children.
You know, I have to say that even in my own mind, it seems to me in years past, it seemed as though parents and let's just say adult citizens and the school system were congruent, you know, yes, more or less, whatever it is, because today there's some argument and I might be a person to argue about that as well. My daughters and my son are grown now, so don't struggle with this issue anymore. But there's always there's a bit of a battle going on about what ought to be taught in school and what ought not be taught in school. And I have a little bit of a struggle there. I you know, I happen to be a Christian. And so I appreciate, you know, let's say prayer in school. You know, but there's also the notion of the, you know, separation of church and state, and our society is much more complex now, much more diverse. And so I can see where some then would not want to see Christian values taught in school. I mean, again, there's a bit of a debate to be had here, but it's not even just that. It's the notion as to what should be taught at home and what should be taught at school. And it gets complicated. Before we just sort of launch in here, do you just have any basic thoughts around that?
Yes. You know, you mentioned, you know, prayer in school. When prayer was taken out of school, I think everything started a downhill trend.
I agree.
And then it just, you know, went on from there. As a side note, our school system, our public school system in this country was founded to teach the Bible. And now look where we are. But when prayer was taken out of school, Ten Commandments taken out of school, children, that's when they didn't have the values. They didn't understand that, you know, stealing was a wrong thing in an in-school perspective. And at home, you know, back when I was young, a lot of moms stayed home. Now everybody works. And so there's less time. There's more focus on sports activities for kids and extracurricular activities than when I was young. So there's less time.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that there's less, you know, like having dinner time together time.
Yes.
And that's where a lot of the discussions, you know, about those important things took place when I was young.
Yes. You know, listen, what you're saying is there very important. And I'm not particularly known for being politically correct. So I'm not going to be so politically correct, except to say that, you know, with you know, even your comment about their, you know, moms are working and they used to stay at home and there's more, you know, now both parents are working. You know, I mean, people, this free country, people can do what you will, what you like. But there's a lot to be said about the time spent working with and supervising your children and teaching them various skills. And so whatever people's thoughts about that, I think it's not it's indisputable that having a parent at home, and again, I'd call me old school if you want, but it seems to me the mom has the more of the wherewithal. I don't know. To stay at home, but again, I'm not even so much getting into that idea than the idea that we are kind of passively, and maybe better said, in passing, teaching our kids. For those who have dual parents, both parents working, you know, certainly single parents, particularly single moms, it's almost like you have no choice but to work, of course. So then, how do you spend that time with your children? I mean, I know I wouldn't have the energy to do it, quite honestly, if I were a single dad. It would be hard for me. So I don't know what the answer is in this era to what your point is and the point that I'm making here about this intentionality, this deliberate time spent with your children, making sure that you're spending enough time to have the greatest influence on their life versus all of those things. And I know you talk about this in your book, all of those things out there that are in many ways a force against us as parents. I don't know if there's a question in there, but feel free to comment.
There really is. And I think I have an answer in there. You know, I think so many parents, it's both parents working and you know, they may not be able to get around that. But what they can do is carve out the time to spend with their children face to face. And kids want to, you know, default to their screen time and, you know, they've got, you know, all of that. And it's easy, I think, as a parent to just let that occur because you're tired after all day work and you're trying to do all the housework and, you know, make meals and all of those kind of things. But if you can spend deliberate, intentional time with your children and have specific dialogue. And it's not just passing questions. It's really having important questions.
Yes.
It's more than just how was your day? And they say, fine. It was, you know, asking really in-depth questions. And on my website, I've got 3 videos that anybody can get for free. And the first one is really how to have these discussion questions with your children. And then it's more than just asking them questions. It's telling them what you want them to know about that topic.
Very interesting. Yeah.
So let's take a character trait of respect as an example. And you know, you may encounter that your children have been bullied, you know, or they see it. You can use that to turn it around to the character trait of respect and then tell them, you know, what to do in a situation like that or how to act, or, you know, they need to know your direction to them in specific situations. And that's the type of conversation you need to have.
It's fascinating in raising particularly our 2 daughters. My son, he's older, but in raising my 2 daughters, I recall for both of them at some given point in there, I think it was particularly in high school where let's say they were breaking up with a boyfriend or something like this, you know, something was going down like that. And, you know, I remember one of them, quite frankly, I don't remember which one it was, that, you know, we were asking them about their thoughts about breaking up. And they were sharing with us that some of their friends said, well, you know, just spend a week or so making them angry and then break up. You see, just anger the situation and then say, okay, I'm done, you know. Others said, you know, send them a text and all these other sorts of things. And my wife and I, we both kind of saw this as an opportunity to have a talk about this. And we suggested in some given way, because we didn't see it as this was a, a bad person that she was dealing with, or that she was being treated badly. It was, you know, just the breakup. I mean, for, you know, just wasn't working, whatever it was. And so, you know, we just kind of suggested that however you decide to break up, you know, if it's a good person, particularly, do it in such a way that you could, you don't have to, but I'm just saying, using the idea that you could see this person the next day, walk up to him, give him a hug, and it wouldn't be that big of a deal. And I think it just, you know, it, we didn't say exactly how you should do that, but, you know, but does it have to be this big, dramatic, loud, traumatic event in breaking up with somebody that's just not working out? I mean, you know, again, if, you know, if they're treating you ill, that's a different thing. If they're treating you really badly, or that's a whole different thing. But if it's just not working out and they're not a bad person, you know, where are you going to go with it? You're going to see them for another 2 years.
And, so, and I think what you're saying is really accurate, because you need to teach your children how to do it with character. So, you know, if they're listening to their friends don't have wisdom. They haven't lived through these experiences before, like the adults in their lives. And, you know, you can guide them, but you have to have that rapport that they're going to come to you, you know, and talk to you. So establishing this type of communication level when they're young is important, and have it be non-threatening. You know, it's just, you know, so you can, you know, have dinner table discussions and start, you know, bringing up these topics, whether it's character traits or life skills.
Yes, no, that's exactly right. So I'd like to jump in just a little bit deeper. I want to first ask you, so your most recent book is called Teach Your Children Timeless Truths in Uncertain Times. And also in the book, you mention turbulent times. So, you know, I guess I have my own opinion about it, but I want to ask your interpretation and your sort of definition of turbulent and uncertain times. Why now? What is different about now than at least when I was in school and we were afraid of the nuclear bombs and teaching us how to crawl under desks? I mean, why now? What's different about now, if you will, Christine?
Today's world is so much more fast paced, and it's speeding up. And things are being thrown at kids at a rapid rate, and they need to learn how to process these things. You know, we didn't face some of these things. I didn't face these things when I was young, and now they have so many things that most parents probably don't approve of and do not want their children to know in schools. And now schools are trying to make sure they hide that stuff from the parents. This is not okay. This is not how the school system in America was founded. This type of activity is not okay, but things are happening rapidly. It's things that they can't process. You know, they can't process some drag queen coming to them, you know, in school. They don't even know what to make of it. You know, leaning back on my military background, when things like that happen in war, it's called fog of war. It's just like all these things, and you can't process them fast enough for what they're happening. And it's like that for kids today. These things that they face, you know, there could all these problems in schools. They have to be prepared for like school shootings. And yes, you know, when I was young too, we had all the nuclear, you know, war preparation stuff by going under the desk, which wasn't going to do much of anything. Yeah. But it was still not like what they're facing today. And kids, their minds are not that developed to be able to handle those things. So it takes an adult intervention in advance to prepare them with the right frame of mind, so that when these things occur, they can, you know, face it and be able to say, no, that's not where I'm at. Or it just being able to process these things, it takes the adults to help prepare them.
Very interesting. And I so agree with you. And I'll ask you later about the fog of war thing, because I saw that in your book, and I thought it was very, very well, you know, put idea behind what you're trying to teach relative to the fog of war. And so now, turbulent times, uncertain times, but, and then, it's not really a but, and then, why then are these skills, these character traits that you're teaching, why are they particularly important in uncertain times? Because we'd all agree that they're important for any time, but you're saying in uncertain times.
Because they're not being displayed as much as they used to. You know, when I was even, I don't know, a couple of decades ago, you know, you saw gentlemen open doors for ladies and you saw them being treated with respect. And kids don't see that like it used to be. So the good character is not around them in their lives like it was when I was young. And, you know, I just saw that. So times were, you know, there were things that were very odd and Cold War and things were going on like that. But times are getting rougher and they are occurring more frequently. And and so the young minds trying to process these without the balance of seeing good character. You know, if they see things on the news, what they're looking at is, you know, riots and fighting and murder. And news is not news like we knew what news was, right? You know, growing up, it's just all this crazy stuff. And
a lot of commentary and whatever. Yeah,
it is. It's more opinion and commentary, like you said, and they're just not getting the balance that they need to outweigh those things with, you know, learning honor and respect and integrity and things like that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And, you know, I mean, young kids are, even though they're not watching the news, they are certainly, you know, oftentimes, again, it doesn't necessarily matter what your politics are, but that, you know, it's reflected in us adults around us and what we talk about. And again, that gets into a dicey situation. I'm not here personally to tell people how they ought to think and behave. I mean, we do have different perspectives about a lot of different things. But I think maybe to your point, there's so much information coming out so fast and it's so available and we're beginning to be so open about talking about whatever that I think to your point that the youth are incapable of processing this. And so the only thing they can do is emulate what they're seeing, whether it's right or wrong, you see. And so certainly if, you know, we brought our daughters up in the church because that's what we wanted them to know and learn. So that was very intentional. But there were other things, like, quite frankly, my politics. I tried not to talk to my kids about politics. I didn't think it was relevant to them until they were getting maybe later on, giving them my philosophy, my thoughts about those sorts of things. But as children, for me to just be screaming at the television is something I'm hearing, they don't have any idea what I'm talking about. And, you know, I would want them to share my philosophies, but I would want them to be able to think about it too and know what I'm sharing with them and understand what I'm sharing. But let me ask this. So you mentioned about character traits and that our youth need to learn them. And I'm going to ask you what character traits, you know, would you kind of put at the top of the list? But I want to read something that came out of your book that really got my attention. And it made me go, well, I mean, I know what character traits I would want my kids to at least in part have based on this story. And it's the story of 7 miles for me. I didn't quite get where it came from. I'll ask you about that in a second. But allow me to just read it for the audience real quick. It's a terrific little anecdote story. Very, very short. It says, and it looks like it's been abbreviated too, so I'll try to read it appropriately. But it says, leaving a store, I returned to my car to find that I'd locked my keys and cell phone inside. A teenager riding his bike saw me kick a tire and say a few choice words. What's wrong? He asked. I explained my situation. But even if I could call my wife, now just jumping into that, but even if I could call my wife, I said, she can't bring me her car keys since this is our only car. He handed me his cell phone. He said, call your wife and tell her I'm coming to get her key. That's 7 miles round trip. Don't worry about it. An hour later, he returned with the key. I offered him some money, but he refused. He said, let's just say I needed the exercise. Then, like a cowboy in the movies, he rode off into the sunset. And it closes with Stevens. I just thought, yeah, that's the type of character I want my kids to have. I would, you know, want any youth to have, quite frankly. First, would you please just share a little bit about that anecdote, that story, and then talk about the maybe the top three character traits?
Absolutely. That story was something that spoke to me, because I think that's what we want in our children. Now, we may not want them to be in the danger of, you know, riding alone all that time.
Course.
So this comes with caveats.
Yes.
Going to an unknown home. And, you know, there's some things there that you have to be cautious about.
Right.
But the idea that there was a young man who was so willing to help someone and go that extra mile, you know, in this case, 7 miles, to help someone out. That's what we want our children to display. We want them to, you know, be able to be so willing to help other people, to be kind, like this young man was. And, you know, and kindness is one of my top character traits. And this is just a good example of what it is. And I don't think as much would young people think about stuff like that today as they did in the past. So it's just a reflective story, because it's like me looking back, you know, when I was younger, that type of thing was more prevalent than it is today. It's that attitude, that mindset, and that heart for
that's
doing
interesting.
That.
Yes. No, you're exactly right. And the other thing though, that struck me about the story and say the way that this young person approached it, is there was some thinking going on there too. You see, it was like he sort of problem solved that situation.
Yes.
So he wasn't just being kind. He came up with a solution. And so I think what I hear you saying though, is that, you know, as the late great Stephen Covey would say, you know, his parents, or he has learned this, you know, this principle-centered life. He lives by principles, like you said, of kindness, of empathy. I mean, there's so many in there that just jump out, and, you know, this can-do attitude. I mean, there's just so many that come in that very short story. So kindness is one of your top character traits. What else would you say, Christine? You know, would be, again, I don't want to nail it down to two or three. It could be whatever you want it, but what are some of the top character traits you would like?
Kindness is important.
Yeah.
Respect and thankfulness. Thankfulness comes like right up to the top, whether you look at it as gratitude or thankfulness. That has dissipated so greatly in the world today. And, you know, I think that if adults taught their children thankfulness greater, it's not just saying thank you, it's really meaning it from the heart. It would open doors for them.
Yeah.
And that's going to carry to later in life when they go apply for a job. If I were hiring, you know, somebody for a job, somebody who appreciated it and was thankful for that opportunity is who I would hire.
Yeah, that level of, like you said, appreciation and thankfulness. You're right. You know, I will say, I'll kind of chime in again here about what you're saying. I think it's so important. But, you know, I'll just say, at least the people that I am surrounded by, friends and colleagues and people that I know in this area, I'm in the Middle Tennessee area near Nashville. And, you know, I personally witness a lot of this going on. I happen to be a middle school tennis coach, just sort of as a little a side job. And part of it is exactly what, you know, it kind of fell into my lap, but I saw it as a real opportunity to mentor some young boys and girls at a very critical age, you know, 6th, 7th, and 8th. And it's honestly, it's been one of the joys of my life to be able to do this. I've been doing it for 10 years. I decided every year, I was like, I really don't have time to do this. I'm going to stop. And then, you know, and then at the end of the year, I get these letters from parents, you know, talking about gratitude. And I just say, okay, I'm coming another year, because it just makes me feel so good. And I realize the impact that I'm having. But here's the real point that I want to make, that there are, I think, so many parents out there trying to do the right thing and are doing the right thing.
Yes.
But there are some youth who are falling, even with good parenting, decent parenting, they're falling through the cracks, because there are so many forces against perhaps well-meaning parents. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier, that if you don't spend sufficient time with your children, your kids, your, you know, that the other influences can overwhelm them and really mitigate everything that a lot of what you're teaching. Sometimes I think it eventually comes back. There's a lot of things that are in there. And this is one of the reasons, besides the sort of the faith-based piece of it, we raised our kids in the church. They were very active in youth church and these sorts of things. Again, certainly for the spiritual grounding, but also because we knew that what was happening at our church, smaller church, mid-sized church, good things were happening. Good things were being spoken to them. There was good influences happening in their life and could help reinforce what we were teaching them. So I'm trying to ask you about this idea of people who are, you know, both parents have to work, let's just say.
Yes, okay.
They're maybe don't have as much control over what's happening at school. There are the cell phones and the internet and all these massive influences. What does one do? I mean, how does one become that strong force?
I think you kind of touched on it with, you know, the church being surrounding, you know, for your children. I think adults, whether it's the church or just like a, you know, a club organization or families that you know your children would be, make sure that they're the right families, the right organization, the right influences are around your children when they're not with you. Yeah. You know the families of the homes that your children go to spend time with their friends.
Yes. Yes.
You know, just doing that. There's so many ways that can be done and it doesn't have any impact on working or not. It's just, what do you want your children surrounded with?
Yes.
And that's so important. And the other thing is that you can do is, well, besides character traits, I like the thought of teaching life skills. You know, things like time management and money management and communication. Those can occur just in general everyday conversations. And the other part is to be the example in their lives. And that you can do just in whatever time you are in the proximity of your children. They're going to watch you and they're going to do the things that you do. So you know, do it. You know, if you're telling them about, well, you need to make sure you have time for your homework, well, make sure you show them what time management is. You know, keeping a planner, keeping a calendar, help them track these things. And these can be done sporadically, but you have to do it as well. Because if you're just telling them, this is what you have to do, you have to keep a calendar or a planner, and they don't see you do it, they're not going to follow, you know, you so easily.
Well, you're so right about that. And again, I want to, not that you aren't, but I want to be empathetic out there to, you know, parents who just maybe they, you know, I mean, there are people out there and you know, I might fall into some of these categories who are just not very organized and not as disciplined and you would like to be. And, but at the same time, you look at your life and say, you know, gee, I wished I would have been more disciplined or more, you know, organized, more time conscious about certain things. And I want my children to be, I'm not the greatest role model. So I guess part of what I'm just trying to suggest is that there's so many different forces against us. I think you just hit on it, you know, church or synagogue, you know, I mean, for me, it's Christian church. That's, we're Christian and that's how we were raised. I would submit, of course, there's people from other faiths that are listening. I think the point is that, you know, beyond the faith is that we try to point them to places, try to get them to places that they were learning good things. They were learning good. And to your point, you know, so if you can't spend as much time with your kid, you know, whose house are they going to? You know, are they good people teaching good things, you know, and all of these different things, you just try to multiply the good influences as much as you can, even more if you can't spend the time with them that you would like to. Again, I would have a much empathy for a single mom who just, you know, there's all kinds of circumstances that we growing up, I don't know your age, but I know when I grew up, my mother, she was full-time mother and most of my friends' mothers were. And, you know, they don't all turn out perfect, but for goodness sakes. But there was a different culture there, and you were much more supervising those sorts of things. So that's very important. So speaking of skills, then, what would you then say are some of the more important skills that you would recommend, you know, parents putting some focus on when it comes to helping their kids, you know, develop skills, life skills?
Time management is very important. And on my course online, that's one of the things that I teach. Decision making,
very nice.
Problem solving. And
an
easy way for parents to start doing that is to do this themselves. They can do this in their work environment. You know, as you're working your job, pay attention to how people are tracking their schedules and learn how to do it. So it's growing themselves, like your podcast says, they can grow themselves to learn these skills better. Yes. So then their children can follow their example. So, you know, if they learn how to use a day planner when they haven't done it before, or they learn how to do it better, let their children see them do it because they're going to follow. And then it's an easy way to say, okay, this is what I do. And this is how you can do it. Let's start with a calendar. Let's track, you know, days you're off of school and your sports practices. And there it's, the parent, the adult, learning to do it for themselves better.
Very interesting, yeah.
And then they can then just show by example to their children how to do it. So it doesn't take like sitting down and having a deliberate conversation.
Yeah.
You just learn to do these skills better yourself and then let your children see how you do it. And that's a way to get it to
That's them. A great idea. It really is. And I suppose many of these skills, you can keep them simple. You know, buy them a calendar.
Yes.
You know, like you said, maybe pay attention to those who are around you and see how they're doing things and put the calendar up on their wall and, you know, make them put their things into their calendar. I mean, that's, you know, might be overly simplistic, but it's a good start for kids to understand, to look, they can look at their calendar and say, you can ask them, what are you doing next week? Oh, I'm doing this. I mean, it's just a start at least.
It is. And I did that with my grandchildren, and I either bought them a calendar or a day planner and showed them all how to do it. And I'm impressed. My grandson, who is 7, has his calendar up on his wall, and he marks the days he's off of school and when he's got practices, and he's doing it, you know. And so at age 7, he's developed that already as a life skill. And when I'm there and I've got my planner, he sees me doing this. And so those are some simple things that we can do to grow those things for ourselves. And then let your children in your life see it and help guide them on how to do those things.
I think that's fantastic advice. What about, Christine, for, you know, the ones that I'm seeing also, because much of my work is in soft skills, you know, in coaching within organizations or whatever. And it is one of the things that I think many of us lack, and that is the critical thinking, problem solving, decision making, particularly those three things. Do you have any thoughts about, you know, because that's, I don't think that's as sort of obvious on how you do that. I do think that's something you really have to learn. But what are your thoughts? And, you know, how can people learn those three things particularly, which I think kind of fall together?
The decision making and the problem solving are actually modules on my online course. So I'm going to tell you how I did it. Not necessarily be promoting my course, but I have done this. Because parents may want to do this, adults may want to do this, and it's like, how do we do this? And so I created an online course, which is 4 modules of character traits and 4 of life skills to walk people through the process. And 2 of them being decision-making and problem-solving, there's models for the business world on how to do that. And I took it down to a simplistic, child understandable process to walk through this. And the one for decision making, I've got it for different age levels, even so that, you know, you can choose the age level of your child, whether they're young or they're in high school, and take them through a process, through a video that you look at together, and then have a worksheet with questions that, you carry throughout the week. And my course is $500, but if anybody who is your audience wants to email me, I'll give them a coupon code for half price on that.
Oh, that's very nice.
And if not, looking at the back of my book, I've got 250 character traits and 550 life skills that are in there. So you know, it'll help maybe focus your thinking on, you know, well, this is really the life skill I want, or this is the character trait I want, and then do some research. You know, what does that mean? And how can I talk through this with, you know, my child? And, you know, and even without the book, I just want to encourage you, you know, go write a list. What are the character traits you'd like your family to have? And just write them down, and then, you know, do a little online research and, you know, what does that mean? And how do I say that to my child? And how can I be that example in their life? Because they're going to follow you. So if you're talking about kindness, you better be kind to people around you, because if you're telling them you have to be kind and they don't see that in you, they're not going to follow you. So.
Well, and there is a video that that I'd like to play. It's a very short video that goes to this point, because you also talk about this in your book that, you know, essentially I'm kind of paraphrasing here, that, you know, children are watching and they just absorb what you do, and even how you think by based on your behaviors. And so I want to show this very short video that you've already seen it, but I'm going to show it for our audience here. Of it's just a short, you know, 15-second clip that illustrates so profoundly. It's actually quite a funny video, but it so profoundly illustrates how kids are watching us and adapt what we as parents and grown-ups do. And so we'll just watch it and then come back and talk.
Ronaldo down towards Lingard. Ronaldo! Manchester United win! It's Cristiano Ronaldo!
Okay, so what were your thoughts about that? I mean, it's quite funny, but it was interesting that the little boy at first had his own opinion about what was going on, right? He was applauding, and then what?
And then he followed his dad.
It was just hilarious. But I thought when I saw this earlier, I thought to myself, this is exactly what Christine is talking about.
It really is. I mean, the little boy followed what his dad did. And it illustrates how much little children mm-hmm. or older children are watching you.
That's right.
And so
what we say is important, but
what we do is really important. And they're going to follow that. And, you know, so if you see, you know, children, you know, whether they're children in your classroom or out and about in society, and you see them with a certain behavior or saying certain things, they picked it up from somewhere. They are, you know, following somebody's example, good or bad. And you just don't realize how much they are watching.
Yeah, so you don't.
Yeah.
You don't often know that your children are watching. I mean, we know this sort of intuitively, and we've heard it enough times, and parents know this, grownups know this. But unless you kind of catch them watching you, you don't just realize that you're just absorbing these things. And so I want to ask you two more questions. One, sure. though, I want to just very briefly get back to this idea of fog of war, because I think it is so important. When I saw that in your book, I thought, wow, this is really relevant. So first of all, describe, if you will, to the audience what the fog of war is, and then how you related this to life skills and in our youth and so forth.
The term fog of war goes way back, you know, in military history. And it was von Clausewitz, who is a military writer and came up with that term. And what he was describing as being in the middle of a battle. And it was really important, I thought, because what he's saying is, you don't know where your enemy is. You don't know what they're going to do to you next. You don't know what's coming around you. And you're trying to be observant to everything. You know, you could be looking forward and it's coming from behind. It's like a fog. You're mentally, you know, in a fog because you can't figure out what's happening. Mm. But I relate it to children in difficult situations. You know, it could be a bullying situation. You know, it could be they're at a friend's house and all of a sudden everybody's getting picked on when, you know, something started off as something normal. They don't know how to process it. Just as the military people in war don't know how to process what's going on around them, which is why there's sometimes flaws that they make because they can't process everything. And so it's that same thing for children. You know, it could be, you know, a gunman in school or somebody comes with a knife or, you know, like bullying, like I mentioned, it doesn't have to be life threatening, but it can be a situation they can't figure out what to do with. And their mind is in a fog. And because their minds and their understanding are less developed, they don't know how to process it. It's like, what did I even see? I don't, you know, they don't know how to react to those things. And it's that same feeling that I think our children are facing today.
Well, and I think also, yes, I mean, I just love this because the other part of that, which I know you talk about, is, and I know most people know this now, but but many, many years ago when people had less familiarity with our military, is that, you know, you take, for instance, you know, they're the easier ones to speak about, the special operators, this, you know, Green Berets, the SEALs and all these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. It is why they go through such intensive training.
Yes.
So that, to your point, they get into the fog of war. It's not really about thinking anymore. It's innate. They've developed this understanding about how to react to something that they don't know how to react to, that they haven't been faced with even before. And but they have these set of skills. They've been tested. And so maybe to your point that in raising our youth, that these are why these skills become so important, so that as they grow older and get caught in that fog of war, whatever it is, they can respond appropriately, react to something.
Yes. I think you're spot on with that. Mm. Because too many children are not getting this good foundational background that they really need to carry them through those kind of situations. They're being tossed into these situations, you know, you're not a girl, you're a boy, or you can, they don't even know what that means. And this stuff is being thrown at them. That's a fog of war. And
interesting.
Schools are doing this to the children. They don't even know what this stuff is.
They have no idea.
No. And it's being forced upon them. But if they have, you know, a more solid innate background inside of them, they'll be able to maybe be freer to go home and talk to their parents and say, this is what was said in school. You know, what do I do with this? Or, you know, or just be able to have greater communication on some of those things. But it's up to the adults to ensure that these good things are put into the children, you know, and that's a challenge, I think, for us today.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. Again, you know, when you consider all the different influences that are hitting us, it's just so important that we as parents, and again, as adults, we stay conscious of this idea about, to your point, particularly our youth who don't know how to process certain things. Doesn't matter what side you fall on these issues, we can't disadvantage our children from being able to think through it. So my last question before I ask where can people find you and your information is, you know, your chapter 3, it's the title is, so where do we go from here? And that is my question. You know, where do we go? You know, where would, I would submit that your book's a good place to start, but let's just say even beyond that, you know, where do parents go from here? Where can they start and start to build some momentum relative to what you're saying about building character traits and life skills? I'm sure that's a broad question, but.
No, that's okay. And I think the answer is, the first thing is the awareness, you know, just really becoming aware. This is where we've developed, you know, in society, this is where we have come, and realizing I need to do something.
Yes.
And that's a huge step, I think, for the adults, and then learning to grow themselves from the inside out, is the next step, because they have to be able to relate these things to the kids. It can't just be words. You need to be kind. You need to be thankful. You need to, you know, it has to become who they are. So they have to demonstrate it. They have to be that example. So, you know, the awareness, and then being able to have those things inside them, and then be able to relate. So, you know, maybe just starting with one thing, just, you know, I'll just take kindness for an example. Maybe you see, you know, something that your child needs to be a little more kind in an area, maybe to a brother or sister or something, and then just focus on it. Do a little research yourself, go online and see what you can find on that topic, and just make a decision. You have to make a decision. You're going to do this.
Yeah. That's fabulous. You know, and I couldn't agree with you more that self-awareness and even situational awareness. So for instance, if you're sitting somewhere with your child at a restaurant and you notice something going on that's kind, you know, point it out to your child.
Yes.
Say, you know, just notice what's happening. And I really love what you're saying. You know, I will say, because I think this is kind of important, that, you know, when I'm coaching, say, leaders or professionals in different types of soft skills, I encourage them that as we go along through this process, because sometimes it's 3, 6, sometimes it's a year of coaching, I encourage them to take what they're learning in the coaching and teach somebody else. You see, so it's this same concept that, just as you just so perfectly said it, that if you are learning something as an adult, take that, or learn something, take that and teach it to your children, to the to the youth around you, and share with them what you learned from it. And they'll absorb that. It just like goes in there and stays. It's a beautiful thing. Go ahead, please.
No, that's okay. And what you said was important, and that's the coaching. You know, it wasn't until like a decade ago I realized as adults we need coaching. And I, you know, one thing that that adults can do is decide, wait a minute, maybe I need the coach to help me through this process, and making a decision to reach out and find that life coach that's going to help them through that process, like the things that you're doing.
Yes. And so much of it it's not complicated. It really, and we all know this, and
that's
I'm a huge advocate of keeping it simple, you know. Just little baby steps, the old inch by inch, life's a cinch type thing. Well, listen, Christine, it's going to all be in the show notes, of course, but where can people find you, your courses? I mean, feel free to promote away. You're offering such good materials. You should be promoting yourself. So please tell us where we can find you.
Thank you online. So much. My website is the best place to start. And it's www.drchris.co. It's not .com, and it's Dr. Chris, but not fully spelled out, drchris.co. And my email address is chris@drchris.co, drchris.
That's pretty
easy. Those are the best ways to do it. Yeah. And I do have an online course. I've got a webinar that they can watch to give a little more information of what I'm talking about, and the other books. And I have books that I wrote for older children and family reading time. And this is another thing they could do. I have two books there called Captain Character, and it's teaching character through the eyes of a superhero. So, you know, I wrote it for like junior high level, but my website for Captain Character, which is there as well, it's got a family reading plan, so you can go through those character traits together as the kids read the book. So it's just another thing that's available.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I can see right behind you is your latest book, which again, I sincerely recommend it. I did get to read it and thought it was fabulous, with a lot of great, really practical ideas in there, as well as some good principles that you put forth. So, well, listen, Dr. Christine Van Horn, I can't thank you enough. I am such a big believer in this idea of us, you know, of adults, you know, I may even put a pitch out there for others that, again, I work with a middle school tennis team. And every year when I end that, I put a note on Facebook or on LinkedIn, and I say, go do something with our youth. Go do something to contribute to the raising up of them, whether it's in the church or synagogue or whatever in your place of faith, whether it's with the schools, whatever it is. I mean, you know, I think it's important, and you're doing such great work for us. And I thank you so much for that and for taking the time to be with Grow Yourself.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Kevin. This was a pleasure to have this discussion with you.
Thank you. The pleasure is completely mine.